Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is Communion Sunday, and every Sunday is Communion Sunday as far as I'm concerned. You know, we want to commune with the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and sermon title may look a little odd today, but controlled, compelled, and constrained by love. Amen. God's in charge. Praise the Lord. It's the love of God that gives us what we have, for God so loved that he gave. Amen. But let's notice the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, King James says, constrains us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Father, I love you today. God, I thank you, Lord, for your divine presence. Dear Jesus, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Bless God, I pray. Pray your anointing upon the ministry of the word of God this day, Lord. May we hear and receive what we need from you, God, today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Controlled by love, or compelled by love, or constrained by love. Amen. All three are translations. But in the natural, we don't want to be controlled by anyone. In the natural idea of love, people take marital love as a means to control one's spouse. I hope you didn't take it that way. However, to be controlled by society's definition of love is far different than to be controlled by God's love. Society's love says, I love you if you do this for me or that for me or whatever you say or do. I might love you a little more. But God's love is perfect love. It is love for sinful humanity when there is no reason to love. God didn't have one single reason to love me or you. It's just who he is. God is love. And you can be assured, regardless what you look like, what paint you put on or didn't put on, God loves you. Man. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The word reconciliation carries with the idea of having a settled account. And when you come to Christ and he can forgive your sins, you have a settled account with God that you're no longer held under the judgment of your sins, for Jesus was judged for our sins at the cross. And another scripture about love, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And he's talking about the reverence and respect for God here in fear, not the fear of doing something foolish. And so if we're controlled and compelled and constrained by love, we see in verse 14, it tells us there that for the love of God compels us, for we judge thus, if one died for all, then all died. Some translations say, then all were dead. I don't know. Did somebody tell me one time that said, you know, my church, I don't like it very much, said it's just dead, they won't raise their hand, they won't praise the Lord, they won't do nothing. But he said, my church is going to heaven 4 years. I said, really? He said, yeah, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay. But Christ died for all because all were spiritually dead. Until saved, all people are spiritually under the death penalty. They've earned the devil's wages, and the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. I'm glad that verse has an ending on it. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. All were dead, all eternally condemned to hell and judgment is the best the devil can do for humanity. That's the best the enemy can do for you. Regardless of what temptations may come your way, what promises the devil may make, in the end, the best he can do for you is just hell and judgment. You don't want to live for the devil. This is what happened spiritually to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. They sinned, yes, they began to die physically. It took them about 800 or 900 years. But they died immediately spiritually. They died in their relationship with God. My friend, I can't imagine a life without God. A day without God. An hour, a minute without God. Man. But Adam and Eve lost this. They died spiritually. They all lost contact with the Creator. They were used to going and fellowshipping with God, talking with one another as you would talk to a friend in the cool of the day. But sin had separated them from God. Not fellowship, not communion, no hope. They lost it all. And it was replaced by fear and guilt and spiritual nakedness. And it would take a divine work to restore humanity to relationship with God. It would take the shedding of blood in order for Adam and Eve to be reconciled to God. And there may be confusion over this or disagreement over this, but you know, Adam and Eve, they made coats of fig leaves to hide themselves from God. It didn't work, but they did. Because they could never cover their sin and their shame with something that was man-made. But God replaced those fig leaf coats with coats of animal skins, which would require the shedding of blood and something to pay for their sin. And so if Adam and Eve were saved, that was their salvation, them accepting God's covering instead of their own. Of course, New Testament, we're covered by the blood of Christ, and God accepts us when He sees us through the blood of His Son. So it would take a divine work to restore humanity relationship with God. So Paul says, all here were dead until Christ. Dead spiritually. Amen. And second of all, we see that He died for all. Verse 14, for the life of Christ compels us, because if judged thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And this is gospel truth, that all are dead spiritually until they see Jesus, until Jesus comes into the light. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Aren't you glad you're on your way to heaven? Amen. Aren't you glad that God has a glorious future prepared for you? Aren't you glad that God has a place prepared for you in His eternity? He does have. Praise God. Paul spoke to the church at Rome and says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we know for all humanity, all tribe, nation, and tongue, God planned salvation for everyone. Man, praise the Lord. You're saved today because God sent somebody to witness to you, to show you the way. You say, well, I was raised in church. God sent somebody or gave you parents that raised you in church or gave you somebody that took you to church. That's the reason we're all a work of missionary work. Hallelujah. Somebody told me one time, said, well, you know, those people over in the far country, God just can just save them however He wants to. We're satisfied right here at home in the USA. Let me tell you something. If God felt like that, not one person today would be saved. But God sent somebody because God loved us. He wanted you to be saved. He wanted you to be in eternity with Him. So we know He died for all. This is the gospel truth. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You say, "Well, I was never ungodly." Oh yes, until you're saved, you're ungodly. Hope that makes you feel better. You should if you're saved. Amen. But judgment comes to the ungodly, those who reject God's gracious offer of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. All there is judgment. Even Jude, we have prophesying of that. Jude, he talks even back before in the antediluvian days, you know. And Jude says, Jude 14, it's only got one chapter. "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed in an ungodly way, and of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." Not many churches would have liked Jude, because he sure was after that ungodly crowd, wasn't he? In those two verses he was. But judgment comes to the ungodly, those who reject God's gracious offer of forgiveness. And I'm glad that God made a way, praise the Lord, through His cross, through His blood, which we will talk about today and celebrate with Holy Communion. But Jesus on that cross, willingly and patiently, He poured out His soul unto death for the ungodly. Amen. Isaiah 53, the last verse. "He was numbered with the transgressors." Jesus never sinned. He never broke the law. He never sinned. But He was numbered with the transgressors. He died for the sinner. He bore the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. When Jesus was on that cross, He saw you and I far off and in time, and interceded to the Father, say, "I know there's people down there that will receive me. I know there's people down there that you love. I know there's people down there that I'm going to die for." And God said, "I will receive them, and you're going to make intercession for them, even though they're transgressors, sinners." So He was numbered with the transgressors, even though He was not one. He bore the sins of many. If you can take this, every time you've ever felt guilty about anything you've ever done, don't tell me you've never felt guilty. I will tell you from the Word of God, without Christ, without His work, you are guilty. But thank God, He takes the guilt and the shame away when we're born again of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Amen. And you're justified in the sight of God. The word justified means to be declared not guilty. Amen. And so the Bible says that you're justified, declared not guilty. If you've confessed your sins, given them to God, and asked Christ to come into your heart, and believe that what Jesus did on the cross was for you in your place. Amen. He's done that. So Jesus poured out His soul unto death. Third, we see here the church is not saved to live for self. We were not saved just to purify, just to have self and have sort of a religious thing every once in a while. Have food, fun, and fellowship. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what it's all about. Amen. So the church is not saved to look out for self. I think one of the greatest errors in humanity is serving the God of self. There's scores of books on self-help. Things sold to make self look 30 years younger, even though it's a lie, but make you look younger. Amen. And people do foolish things. On Halloween, they dress up to look like something they're not. I'm glad they don't look that way all the time. I heard the way they celebrate Halloween in Saudi Arabia, that they have sand witches. Anyway. Bad joke. But the church is not saved to live for self. We're saved to live for the One who died and rose again for us. At great price, Jesus poured out His soul unto death. At great price, He died for my sins and your sins at a great price. He did all of these things so that you could have an eternity with Him, that we would not be separated from God forever, that we wouldn't go and suffer in a devil's hell, but would be given heaven, praise God. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a place that God has prepared for us with Him forever. Amen. Can you see Him this day seated at the right hand of the Father with more glory and more power and such glory and such brightness that the human eye cannot look upon it? We have to have a glorified body. Hallelujah. And so the church is not saved just to live for self. We're saved for the one who died, rose again for us. Amen. He did this for you. We look at the cross, all that He did. He did that for me. He did that for you. Undeserving, yes, but God made us worthy with His blood. Songwriter John Newton was a slave trader. You've heard probably this story many times. You play like you hadn't heard it before, but you're going to hear it again. John Newton was a slave trader. He was a wicked man. He rounded up people out of Africa and sold them to other countries to be slaves. He was not kind to them. As they were on his ship and sailing, he was very rude, very unkind, very terrible. And you say, well, people were just like that then. People are just like that now. They need Jesus. They're just as wicked as they've always been. And so, but John Newton, he and the experienced sailors that were with him came upon a storm one night, and all of his sailors, professional men, knew that they could not survive such a storm as this. And in that hour, John Newton called on the one — he was not ignorant, he was raised right — but he called upon God, if you're really there and if you're up there, would you save us and help us now? We're going to perish right here. And God calmed the waters, and they were able to sail home and be able to be free. But it did something in John Newton's life. It birthed a song that we all know called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. He went on to pastor churches, be a minister of the gospel. Once lost, you know what? Jesus did this for John Newton. He did it for you. And we see here in the 14th verse that the church is compelled by love, pushed by love, held together by love. Greek, suniko, I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but all you Greek scholars can tell me. But the Greek implies here to compress forcibly the energies into one channel. That means that love is jealous of any rival, object engrossing the soul. God's love is a righteous, jealous love. You say, well, jealousy is a sin. Yes, it is, but not God's kind of jealousy. He wants no one else to have you except Him. I don't want to belong to anybody else except Him, because the alternative isn't good, I tell you. So God's love controls us. Amen. So it means to hold completely, to hold fast, to press together. My friend, if you're born again, you're pressed together with God. You belong to Him. Man. That pushing in on each side, forcing. My dad raised cattle. And peanuts, and watermelons, and cantaloupes, and corn, and beans, and peas. Anyway, we had cattle. But the idea here is given to being pressed together. It's that of cattle being squeezed and on each side forcing the beast in a position where it cannot move so the farmer can administer medication. I've been there and done that. I can tell you what, you get a cow in a pen and up against something, they'll fight you. I don't care what color they are. I don't care if they're Hereford. I don't care if they're a Bremer. I don't care what they are. You get a certain position, they'll fight. And I know by bad experience, I worked in a sale barn for a while. Man, my parents wouldn't let me play football. It was considered too worldly. But I got beat and kicked more in that cattle pen than I ever would in football. How did I get there? Anyway, when we're put in a position with Christ, we're pressed, compressed together with God, where there's not room for anything else except God. That's a wonderful thing. God has done that for us. That's why, for this gospel message, people leave friends and family and security for a mission field where the love of God is unknown. They are compelled by love. And we desire for people to have a settled account with God. That's the reason for the missions board out there. We don't put people's pictures out there just so it'll look like we're a great church. We're not a great church. We're a church of the living God, His church. Yes, but that's what we do. Amen. Nobody will be saved if we don't do something. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus didn't leave you out. He didn't leave me out. He didn't leave anybody out. And it's my prayer and my hope that everybody on this planet, amen, in the hills and in the mountains and the places where they don't even have a language, that somehow the gospel message, if it's through word of mouth or if it's through reading or through hearing communications of every type, everybody would receive a gospel witness. We're compelled by love, constrained, controlled by love for this. So people leave family and friends, go to a place where they don't know anybody, don't know the language. They're compelled by love. And we, the church, are held together. We're not divided, but we're held together by Christ. Amen. If I was left up to self, if you were left up to self just to have an answer to anything, you didn't have God, your life would not end up good. It'd be broken. It'd be pressed, compressed together with sinful things, but yet still, as a Christian, we're pressed together with God. Amen. And so this has come to my mind several times, so I'm going to say it. When I was in the hospital a few years ago, man, traumatic brain injury. And what is traumatic brain injury? It's just mind over matter. In fact, if you don't have a mind, it doesn't really matter. No, I had traumatic brain injury, and there, once in a hospital bed, I remember laying in the aisle, not really knowing much of anything. I felt the presence of a body next to me, and I said, who is that? What is that? But there was no body there. But God revealed to me that He was present. He was there. I'll tell you, whatever you go through, if you're a Christian, God will always be there. Wherever you go, He's already been. Amen. And where are you going? He's already there. Amen. And you will not face anything without God. If you'll walk with God and live for God, this same Jesus, which was taken up, was raised from the dead, is your Christ, your Lord, your Savior. And you can be confident knowing that what you've committed to Him is eternal. That you live for Him, serve Him, controlled, compelled by love. I'm glad for the love of God. Praise the Lord.